couple weeks ago, we looked at our mission for Whitneyville Bible Church, and we looked at the fact that our mission is to unconditionally love God and love others. And part of the process, I believe, in leading a church and moving forward as a church is to have a clearly defined mission. Why are we here? Why do we exist? We have to know that. A mission statement really serves to communicate to our world and to the people out there, what is this church all about? But within that same idea as well, we have vision statements that we need to give to make sure that we as a congregation know, why are we here, what are we all about, and what are we hoping to accomplish? What are we hoping to do? And so this morning, I want to share with you the vision that we have for Whitneyville Bible Church. What do we hope to accomplish? What is it that we are hoping to have done within our congregation? And really, outside of the gospel message, I believe this message is probably one of the most important messages that we can give in the historical scope of Whitneyville Bible Church. And if you're visiting this morning, I hope that this will communicate to you where we hope to be going, not dwelling on where we have been, but looking forward to where we hope to go. But this church has been through an incredible amount of adversity and challenges over the last 20 years. And so due to the sensitivity of this message and my own awareness to communicate effectively, I'm going to stay very closely tied to my manuscript and what I wrote down. I typically don't read my messages. But I also know myself. Let's go ahead and pray, and that'll probably get my mind geared back into what we're supposed to do this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. There is no way we can fully comprehend who you are and how much you love us and how much you care for us. And what's amazing to me is how much I love this church and how much the people of this church love this church. But the fact that you love this church more than we could ever know, and that you love the church as a whole more than we could ever know. Father, we thank you for the gracious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us this morning to open our hearts and to our minds to the truths of your word, to the vision of where we hope to go, what we hope to accomplish. Father, we live in important days that we need to be reaching the lost with the gospel, to love one another, to care for one another, to fulfill what you've called us to do in Scripture. Father, our goal, our ambition in life when we end our life and we stand before you should be to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, I pray that you would help us and enable us in that direction. We pray these things in your name. Amen. As I mentioned just a minute ago, outside of the gospel message, this message, the vision, is probably one of the more important messages that we can give because it shows us where we're heading, what we're doing, what we're hoping to accomplish. And this church has been through a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges. It's been amazing to me as I've listened to so many different people talk about the history of Whitneyville Bible Church, what this church has gone through. A lot of different things have taken place. A lot of different challenges have been facing this congregation. And so I do apologize, but I'm going to stick real close to this manuscript. Again, I normally don't read a manuscript, a message, but I want to make sure that we communicate clearly and we communicate effectively and we communicate passionately where we hope to go, what we hope to accomplish. I believe that if we are all honest with one another, the many things that have transpired here at Whitneyville Bible Church have not been biblically healthy on many levels. In reading through the annual reports from the last 8 years, the following statement was made in 2006 by a former elder. He said this, and I quote, "In the last 8 years, 11 elders have served. 6 of those 11 have now left the church. A similar rate of attrition has affected the deaconate," end quote. And today, as an enthusiastic young pastor, I have used the phrase, God has good things in store for us at Whitneyville Bible Church. Yet, that verbiage of good things lying ahead has been used before. In that same annual report in 2006, the above-referenced elder said this, quote, the best days are still to come with the Lord. And the pastor at the time said this, quote, better days are coming. Yet, as I have been here for the last 2 months and have spent, I think, a considerable amount of time with people, both current leadership and congregants, not many have communicated that things are actually better. In fact, things seem to have ground to a halt in some different situations and circumstances. We've swept things under the rug. That's why this picture here represents things that we have swept under the rug for many years. And now we are forced to sit and stare at the 5-ton elephant that's in the room. How do we fix? How do we move forward? How do we move ahead? How do we have a vision from Scripture of what God wants for us? The natural question arises of what is wrong and how do we fix it and how do we ensure that in 8 years, and this is not trying to prophesy my tenure here, but that how do we ensure that in 8 years the next guy isn't standing here saying, let's look ahead and let's forget the past because better days are coming? The fact of the matter is there is a problem at Whitneyville Bible Church. It's us. We are our own worst enemies, as is the case in every church. Every church is made up of redeemed sinners, and we struggle, and we will always struggle, because we haven't been glorified yet. What a day that will be, won't it? Our adversity and our challenges have not been primarily from the outside, but rather they have been from the inside. We have fought, we have torn down, we have maligned, we have divided ourselves into the current situation we have today. And we have to fix the problem that exists at Whitneyville Bible Church. The question then becomes, what is this problem? And I want to be very careful in communication this morning. My intent is not to offend any person or group of people. But in part, part of our problem, part of the challenges that we have faced is we have never really allowed elder leadership and deacon leadership to function at the level that the New Testament teaches. The result of this has been some reoccurring and systemic issues that have embedded themselves in the DNA of our church, which have resulted in broken relationships in the body of Christ. We now need to do some necessary surgery and allow the sword of the Word of God to cut that organizational poison out of our ministry. I am grateful, I really am grateful, that current and past members have been praying that God will help us, and it is by His grace and help that we will continue to move forward to be good stewards of the great privilege that God has given to us to operate His church in a proper manner. And I want to reiterate again, I, Dave Dietz, am not the Savior of this church. Jesus Christ is the Savior of this church. And our focus and our attention must be on Him. If anything good in this church happens, it is not because I am here. I can assure you of that. It is only by His grace. It is only by His mercy. So how do we begin to move forward? I would like to say this. We cannot continue to drag things up from the past. We cannot continue to have leadership issue apologies and other statements for past issues. We must move forward. And we must fix this. I am convinced that unless God shows grace and mercy, we have extremely limited opportunities to fix things here at Whitneyville Bible Church. We can't continue to say, let's forget the past and let's move forward. We have to change and we have to work at this. We cannot repeat annual statement comments for an indefinite amount of time that say, let's start over and let's try this again. Our time of starting over has to stop here, and we have to ensure that this church functions in a biblical manner. This is a hill we must die on. There's a lot of things that people talk to me about. Hey, can you do this, and can we do this, and can we start this, and can all these things happen? And I would say, yes, in due time, we'll get to a lot of those things. But right now, we need to make sure that we function properly. We need to make sure that we are doing what God has asked us to do. With that in mind, our vision then is that we would be a healthy church and that we would have a blessed community. Part of this process means that we want to be a people who love God unconditionally, share His love faithfully, and show His grace consistently. We want to be a people who grow to be like Christ in all that we do, and in turn share Christ where we can with truth and with love. And we also want to have a community that is blessed as a result of Christ's blessing to us. A community that is loved by the unquenchable love of God that Christ has shown to us, and a community that shares in the gospel that Christ shared with us. That's our goal. That's our hope. That we would be healthy, and that in turn we would have a community that knows Christ because of us. So, what is our practical vision then for Whitneyville Bible Church? We're going to look at three major areas this morning. Our vision of leadership, our vision of the congregation, and our vision of the community. First of all, our vision of leadership. The first thought underneath this, we envision a plurality of elders who are biblically qualified, humble, servant leader shepherds. Let me say that again. We envision a plurality of elders who are biblically qualified, humble, servant leader shepherds. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 3 says this, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." The elders must be biblically qualified, they must be humble, they must be servant leaders who will shepherd the flock of God. The elders must not only believe that their primary job is to shepherd the flock, but they also must function as shepherds. They must care for the spiritual well-being of each person who attends Whitneyville Bible Church. The elders must willingly fulfill their biblical role of leadership. They must be actively and lovingly engaged in the spiritual life of the congregation. The elders must clothe themselves with the same humility as Christ did in John 13 when he washed his disciples' feet. The elders must hold fast to the truth of Scripture and defend and protect the flock that has been entrusted to them by God. These are non-negotiables for elders. We must make sure that elders today, tomorrow, and for the rest of this time at Whitneyville Bible Church follow Scripture. Second of all, we envision a group of men who fulfill the role of deacon in a gracious, loving, and servant-minded manner, and ensure that the benevolent needs of the church are taken care of. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 says this, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." The deacons must not only believe that their primary job is to minister to the poor and needy and widows of the church, but they must function in this manner as ministers. Their ministry must be primarily focused on meeting the benevolent needs of the church. They must care for and attend to the needs of the widows of the church as well. They should not be primarily bogged down with the duties of maintaining a building and a facility. but rather they should be committed and dedicated to helping those who are in need financially, as well as those who need assistance being taken care of, such as the widows and the elderly. The congregation must bear the responsibility of maintaining a building and a facility. However, to burden the deacons as maintenance men to the neglect of the widows and others is unbiblical. They must fulfill their God-given role. Thirdly, under our vision for leadership, we envision a plurality of leaders that equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up the body of Christ." The word "to equip" means this: to make someone completely adequate or sufficient for something. To make adequate, to furnish completely, to cause to be fully qualified or adequate. One of the goals of the plurality of leadership is to model for the congregation the need for and the mutual benefits of teamwork. The leadership must do what it can to ensure that the congregation of the church is not only equipped, but also encouraged and helped to find their God-given gifts and utilize them as best as they can in the life of the church. The congregation must be empowered by the leadership to fulfill this role, and the leadership must ensure that they do not hinder this process with unnecessary bureaucracy. The congregation must be equipped or made qualified, as is biblically possible, by the leadership of the church in line with Galatians 6:1, where it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." It is interesting. The Greek word for equip in Ephesians 6:4, equip the saints, is the same Greek word as in Galatians 6:1, to restore. It's to make someone adequate again. It's to make them capable of service again. It is the duty of the elders to restore or to equip each person to do the work of the ministry. If someone has been deemed unqualified, the elders and the leadership must help them to become qualified again. We can't leave open-ended statements out there. So our vision of the leadership. Second of all, our vision of the congregation. We envision a body of believers who joyfully and willingly submit to their God-given leadership. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13 says this, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." Hebrews 13:17 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." The congregation must joyfully submit to the leadership of the church, as the leadership will stand accountable for those to whom they minister. As God has allowed His church to have human, imperfect leadership, the challenge has been for the congregation to respond in appropriate manner to that leadership. However, it is biblically imperative that the congregation respond with joyful submission to their God-given leadership. Submission, according to Strong's, means this: to yield, to surrender, to submit, to cease to fight. When leadership functions properly, and the congregation functions properly, the result will be a spirit of peace, of unity, and of joyful submission to their God-given roles. Second of all, for the congregation, we envision a body of believers who graciously and faithfully fulfill the one another commands of Scripture. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35 says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Throughout the New Testament, believers are given commands that they are to fulfill to one another. Commands such as love one another, serve one another, be kind to one another, don't judge one another, exhort one another, edify one another, and so on. Believers are part of the body of Christ, and part of that body role is that they fulfill these commands to other believers. When believers fulfill the commands of Scripture, then the body of Christ functions as it should. We envision a body of believers who graciously, willingly, and faithfully fulfills these various commands in their daily interaction with one another. Thirdly, for the congregation, we envision a body of believers who embraces, welcomes, and ministers to all generations of people. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2 says this, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity." Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 says this, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled." The testimony of Scripture is clear that a local church is to be made up of all generations. The church as a whole must be willing to have younger people a part of the church. They must be willing to be inconvenienced by them. They must be willing to reach out and connect with the younger people, and the church must be willing to sacrifice in order to do what is needed to reach younger families and younger people. Again, if we don't reproduce ourselves, life will cease to exist. We must maintain biblical focus on the preaching of Christ, but we must also connect with, engage the younger generation as a vital part of the church as well. Younger people have just as much to contribute as older people, and we need to make sure that we engage them in the church. On the same token, the younger generations must be willing to do what is necessary to welcome, love, and appreciate the older generation. The design of God's kingdom is that all generations will be able to worship and serve in the same context. The 9-year-old and the 90-year-old need one another. All ages must be actively engaged in supporting the ministry with their time, their talents, and their treasures that have been entrusted to them by God. We envision a body that is composed of a diversity of ages, backgrounds, and cultures. Everyone needs to be welcomed here. We join together as believers to worship our Savior. Whether you're a different age, a different background, a different culture, we find our unity in Christ. So thirdly, our vision of the community. We envision a community who is actively engaged with the gospel of Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We envision a community that has gospel intentional relationships with the people of our church. We envision that we would seek to establish, work at, and maintain relationships with the unsaved world around us that would allow the gospel of Jesus to be presented in a real, genuine, and living way. We want to be a church body that actively engages in the lives of the unsaved around us in order that we may graciously and lovingly share the good news of Jesus Christ. Secondly, for our community, we envision a community who is actively engaged with the love of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21 says this, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The church must proactively look for ways to engage the surrounding communities in ways that will bless them with the love of Christ. The church needs to make sure that this is done effectively and efficiently, and that this occurs regularly as God allows. We envision a community that will be directly impacted by the physical and tangible presence of our body of believers. As the saying goes, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. This is true of our community. They must know that we care for them and that we wish to show them the blessings that God has blessed us with. We envision a body of believers who lives outside the four walls of their building and engages their community with the amazing grace and love of God. This is our vision for our community. Our vision for our leadership, that we would be functioning properly. Our vision for our congregation, that we would be functioning properly. Our vision for our community, that they would know that God loves them and God wants to share His word with them. Our vision is a healthy church and a blessed community. In light of this, and in hopes of moving forward, the elders have decided to move ahead with some significant implementations. First of all, we will be implementing an elder care group ministry, which will mean that all active attenders will be split up among the five elders. There will be a letter going out this next week that you will receive from your elder, indicating what they hope to accomplish in the shepherding role in the church. This elder care group will include a significant visit either in your home or the home of the elder over the next year. It will include hospital visits and other shepherding contacts for those who are hospitalized or have other needs for an extended period of time. On this note, I do want to mention and make clear, communication goes both ways. When I was an assistant pastor in Denver, people would come to me on Sunday and say, "You didn't visit me this week in the hospital." I would say, "I didn't know you were in the hospital this week." Communication has to go both ways. Being an elder doesn't mean that we're suddenly omniscient. So communicate with us, and we will strive and we will work at communicating with you. This elder care group ministry will be beginning immediately. We have to know if you are going into the hospital. We have to know that if you have some other type of need. These elder care groups will also meet once a quarter with your elder to allow the elders to have a mutual exchange with you, to share direction, ideas, and thoughts, and other feedback. We hope and we pray that this will begin to make a difference in the life of our church and in the relationships of the body of Christ. Secondly, the elders have also decided to allow the formation of a transition team that will be spearheaded by myself at the beginning. Our plan is to have a team of ordained men in the church who would evaluate, recommend, oversee, and implement, with congregation and leadership input, a new plan and process for the identification, training, evaluation, and installation of elders and deacons. It was mentioned back at the annual meeting about the need to change how we do this nomination process, and a team of ordained men have agreed that they will begin to oversee this process, and we will be communicating that to you as much as is possible. This team will begin forming immediately, and we'll be communicating updates as we move ahead. Thirdly, the elders have also decided to begin the process of pursuing a man for the position of youth pastor. At this point, this process is very preliminary. I want to encourage you with that. It's very preliminary. But our hope is to be able to have a man come as an intern for the summer to work with the children and the youth and to evaluate our mutual interests for future ministry together. Fourthly, we are in the process of completely redesigning our websites and enhancing our virtual presence in the world. This will be able to help us better reach those who are quietly looking for a church and will help us to introduce Whitneyville Bible Church and its ministries to them in a more effective manner. As well, we are also looking at other plans and other programs and other ministries that we can reevaluate and revamp and make sure that we are ministering as effectively as possible. I would encourage you, if you can send the note to the office, wbcofc@gmail.com, or just to myself, pastordietz@gmail.com, so we can add you to update lists to make you aware of what is happening and what is going on. We as elders, and I know I speak on behalf of all of them, ask for you to pray for us. I want to mention this. The four elders that we have are good men. They love God. They are passionate about serving Him. They have taken a lot of flack. They've gone through a lot over this last year and a half as they've helped in the search committee process for a new pastor. There's been a lot on their plate. I think many of them would say, you know what, we're not perfect, as all of us would have to say. But these are good men. They love the Lord. They love God, and they are passionate about helping Whitneyville Bible Church become the church that God wants it to be. So pray for us. Help us. Encourage us. Give us constructive feedback. Help us to see, you know what, here's an idea, or here's a thought, or here's something to consider. Every one of you should be able to come and talk to us and share openly about what you're thinking and about what your perspective is, and we should be able to have mutual exchanges in conversation together. I know as well there's another challenge here, and next week's video will be discussing this as well, but about half of our church is not members here at Whitneyville Bible Church. I would encourage you, as your pastor, join with us, connect with us, participate with us, help shoulder the load along with us. This is a team effort. We need everyone. God has gifted all of His saints in specific ways to fulfill certain ministries. Join with us and use your God-given abilities and wisdom and insight to help us and encourage us. I believe, I sincerely do believe, that God has great things in store for us at Whitneyville Bible Church. I am extremely encouraged by what God is doing. There is a lot of stuff that's kind of bubbling underneath the surface that will eventually rise to the top, but God is working, and God is going to build this church as He sees fit. He is the Savior of this church. It is not Dave Dietz. God is working, and God has great things for all of us. My heart as a pastor is that all of us would pitch in, get involved, and use our God-given abilities to further His cause. My prayer, and maybe just because I'm a former youth pastor, my prayer is, God, would you rock this place? And I'm not talking about the music necessarily. God, would you do something significant here? Not so that I can tell my friends, hey, guess what? Let's look what our numbers are. It's not about the numbers at all. But so that we would know and this community would know there is a God, and He is real, and He is powerful, and He exists at Whitneyville Bible Church, and He is the source of all truth and knowledge. That's my prayer, that God would do something significant here. And if we reach 1 million people, fine. If we only reach 120 people, great. But if God draws us all closer together and allows us to utilize our gifts and we all become more like Him, then my heart will be satisfied to say God is so good and God is working. It has nothing to do with numbers, but everything to do with who we are as believers, how we function for Him, and how we reach our community. This is our vision. These are things that we are implementing to move ahead to be able to say, you know what? We want to reach the Alto, Caledonia, and surrounding areas with the cause and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pitch in. Join in. Come on in. The water's warm. God has good things in store for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. so much for your word. And I know this has been a little bit of an unusual message, and maybe there are visitors here today who came to hear your word preached and got this. Father, I pray that you would even encourage their hearts with the fact that this church desires to move ahead for the cause of Christ. Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us strength, give us energy, give us discernment, give us the ability to follow you. Where you lead us, help us to be willing to go. We thank you for being a great and a good God to us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.